I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented baby, by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Doing like a little special here on Jimmy Butler on ESPN right now. We'll sit down one-on-one with him. Who has it better than that guy right now? You think about the where the expectations were for the Miami Heat versus, like, everybody. I don't know anybody who hates Jimmy Butler. I'm going to be honest. I actually don't know anybody who goes, dude, I hate that guy. He just seems like he's having so much dang fun. He plays so hard. Why would you hate a guy like that? And he's not on like, you know, the best team. He doesn't have the best role. He doesn't have the best dudes around him. And I'm watching, I'm just like, man, I think that we rolled our eyes at the idea. Could you imagine if the Lakers and Celtics would have won? That's what the NBA kind of on paper would love, right? An LA Boston classic final. But the reality is that, and I know it goes without saying, I know this is kind of a Captain Obvious here, Scott, but the Nuggets and the Heat are the two hottest teams. You don't want to see some team back their way in. A team like Boston, if they would have won that game at home, you wouldn't have thought to yourself, yeah, man, they are so ready after they had dropped three out of their previous four games. After they had dropped, you know, gone down 3-0 and had to fight back from that. And while it would have been historic, I love the idea of a couple of teams that nobody had on the radar of being the possible NBA champions this year, including the Nuggets, who were, I think Locke, who we're going to talk to in the next 30 minutes, David Locke, was like, this is your number one offense in the league. This is before the season started. He goes, don't be surprised. They'll likely be that number one seed. Their thing is can they play good enough defense? And all season long, they just were the best team in the West. They continued to be that way, and they took care of business in the playoffs. And then you have this underdog amazing story with Miami. I love the finals, man.
Yeah,
I love
that setup. Miami's an underdog. I just think they're an injured dog, and they've been kind of injured through the year. But what I love is that you just see these players are dialed in, and whatever they do to get there, it shows. It just shows their ability to concentrate in the clutch moments, in the tough moments. It shows in their ability to close out series. And you see teams that are off for whatever reason, you know, it's whether they're kind of drumming up ghosts from the past and go, oh, here we go again, kind of thought process, whatever it might be. Clearly the teams that just have that mental focus just seem to be the ones who figure it out and get it done. And that's that. You can just see that in Jimmy Butler. You can see that with Denver, and you just go, who's going to blink first? I mean, really, it's just, because it's going to be two teams that really are dialed in and feel like they should win.
I really like the idea of, I just don't hate either of these teams, which is also kind of a bummer. I like hating a team in the finals. You know, that always kind of helps. And it's not even just like that you're a fan of one team, but I do like the hateable stories and the likable stories are equally fun to me.
It's hard to kind of, you know, pick between one of these two teams because they certainly deserve it. I mean, they certainly deserve to win and a lot of great storylines with both these teams. And so you hope that people can appreciate and give them the respect that they're due because they've deserved to be there.
All right, let's look at some of these schedules. We talked about it a little bit with Mitch Harper, who came on and chatted about some of the times that were announced for BYU. Let's look at some of these kickoff times, not just for BYU, but also for Utah. So the Utah kick times have been announced. You've got your Thursday, August 31, Utah, Florida. Scott, you're going to be on the radio calling that game at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. So there
so
you go.
So when you get a game like this, and because college football is so subjective, you have a chance to make a first impression. I mean, the schedule comes out, and guess what? It ends up on ESPN. So you're a Utah fan. Across the nation, anyone watching ESPN is going to see Utah's playing early on in the season against Florida. And everyone across, you know, so your impression with folks on the East Coast is really going to happen when you play that early season game against Florida, and then what do you do against USC? And that's what people are going to remember for this Utah team. So that first impression, it's going to be at home. It's going to be electric. It's something that, you know, doesn't happen often for a Florida team. It's a big deal. And really, you know, it's the best game there is on week one in college football. But the significance of it, and I said this a year ago, it's so important because you have limited opportunities to make that impression if you're a team like Utah. You've got to make that impression. And hopefully from a year ago, they learned that because that whole loss to Florida a year ago, it just drug with the team. Most of the year, and the fact that they could actually go and win the Pac-12 championship after kind of it was really a gut punch for Utah, who I think had a chance to really go to the college football playoffs a year ago, but they had to win that game. So you've got to make that impression with that first game.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you look at this too and go, because we talked about a Thursday game, would you have preferred it a little bit later? And I know that they're trying to have the best of both worlds
right
here, where you're trying to get Florida, you're trying to get the East Coast to look, because you're talking about, if this isn't the very first game of the college football season, it's certainly going to be the most important one. You know, this isn't a week zero game technically, but it is probably the biggest matchup that's going to be happening on a Thursday for sure.
Well, and you want this game at this time. You don't want it late at night because you're going to get a viewing audience from the East, so it's a big deal. It's a big deal. The start time is at 6 o'clock. Their television is saying this is important. We value this. This game, it's a big deal. I'm fascinated to see what actually goes down with it. I really am because it's you know, where Florida really is, where Utah really is. I actually like having to get out of the gates early, and you know. I think Utah typically in its, you know, recent Pac-12 history has been a slow starting team. And I just like that they're playing some tough quality opponents early on. I think it helps them out. You know, they got Baylor the next week and before they get into, you know, they got Weber State before they get in conference. But it's a tough schedule to start with, but I think it's one that's going to make you more prepared for the season.
Okay, so you got that one on the at 6 p.m. It's just nice to have times, right? When you look and you see the times, it feels a little bit real.
Well, yeah.
And then you go, you can imagine exactly what the type of weather is going to be at a 6 o'clock kickoff up on the hill on August 31st. Saturday, September 9th. Now, this one was a bit of a gut punch for me because I hate these games. I have a personal hate for these games. Now, it's going to be
this
an 11.
This is Kyle Whittingham's favorite time.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he loves it.
You get out of bed, wake up, get go to the stadium, go play a football game.
It's a 7 a.m. kickoff. It's a 7 a.m. kickoff.
It's mindset, and I'm telling you, I have the same mind. I'm with it. I don't
you
wanna,
love it.
I don't want to sit around and hotel all day long.
Do the players?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
So it's a 7 a.m. kickoff that morning.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding. 10 a.m. Mountain. Yeah. Kyle's like, well, I told you
about,
I wanted to write.
You're talking about Baylor.
Sorry about Baylor. Yeah, yeah. So Baylor at Baylor in Waco. Yeah. That's going to be an 11 a.m. kick in Texas. 10 a.m.
11's
here.
A little early. That
for the Texans.
That'll feel a little weird to everyone.
Well, I know, because here at home, it's 10 a.m., man. And a game in Texas, honestly, at 11 a.m., that's a little bit early. Like, I'm usually... although I will say on September 9th, that Waco can be extremely hot.
Going to be humid?
I don't know.
Is it humid?
It's humid, but it's not the Houston humid, right?
Okay.
It is
so
going to be hot.
It's not the Florida swamp.
It's not the Florida. Did you just cuss? It's not going to be the Florida.
It's not Florida.
Oh, no. I just thought. Jeremy's like,
not the Florida swampy.
Yeah. It's going to be a 10 a.m. Mountain Time kickoff for that Utah Baylor game. I have a hard time.
That's a little weird.
I know. I have a hard time shaking the cobwebs off a little bit and going, okay, I got to get ready for football. Because normally, what do we get? We get all day prepping ourselves for a game.
What is nice is you're going to play two tough games early on, but you're playing Thursday, right? And so you're going to have a couple of extra days for that next
That's actually fantastic for that Baylor game.
Gives you a little bit better chance to kind of get ready, get prepared, get healthy. So you can go play again.
Then another early game. This one, you usually have one, maybe even two sometimes that are early-ish games at Rice-Eccles Stadium. They're going to be hosting Weber State at noon on Saturday the 16th of September.
When it's a Pac-12 network game.
Yeah, you just expect the
Pac-12.
Expect the sun to be right out on top of you.
They have to pick certain games during the season, so they know that a lot of dud games are going to go on their network because they don't want to get an opportunity like a Utah versus USC later on in the year and go, oh, sorry, we can't play that because we have an obligation. So they're pretty good about picking the right garbage games to kind of fill their quota so their top games can end up on national television.
It is one of those things where you go, look.
Which
what is
tells
going to be
you
the
all
best
you need
us?
To know about the Pac-12 network.
Yeah.
It's garbage.
Huh?
Yeah.
What did Mitch say also? I think that ESPN Plus game that they're going to have with
Sam Houston?
No, Southern Utah. Because Sam Houston's going to be on FS1, I think. Oh. But Southern Utah, the second week of the season, what would normally be slated for a BYU TV game, BYU TV will likely they'll be the ones packaging it all up. They'll be the ones that are the production crew for this, but it's going to live on ESPN Plus rather than on BYU TV. I don't hate that. I mean, the reality is, I don't know, you'll get a lot of people who will go, I turned it to BYU TV and I didn't see the Cougars. What happened? It's like people nowadays who call up and go, why aren't the Jazz on KSL TV tonight? And you're like, that hasn't been a thing for a while. But, you know. So you kind of got to get used to some of the broadcast situations there. On BYU's kickoff times, you've got yourself the Sam Houston's game is going to be an 8:15 kickoff on FS1. So it's a primetime game week one, okay, on FS1. Week two, like I said, ESPN Plus against Southern Utah. That's a 1 p.m. kickoff at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. And then this one, I like this one a lot. It's on ESPN2. It's a 5:30. That's a perfect time. A 5:30 kickoff for Arkansas and BYU down in Fayetteville. I love that time. I think that's a great time for you to be able to take that one in. And that game's going to be interesting, too. Another one that was thrown out there also, BYU's first home Big 12 game is going to be against Cincinnati, and that kickoff is 8:15 p.m. on September 29th. So lots of late games. The interesting thing about that for Cincinnati is that's an East Coast time school, and they're coming out to Provo for an 8:15 kickoff in Provo. So far, time-wise, you have that one. I thought for some reason we saw the Kansas one maybe. Did the Kansas one, was Kansas not put up there? Actually, you know what? I think I saw the Kansas one, and it is five. I think it's going to be 5 p.m. Mountain. I think since this has been put out, I think they put it back out there again. Because BYU just sent out the broadcast schedule. Greg Rubel put it out. He's the director of broadcasting on top of being the voice of the Cougs. But my recollection was, I think I looked and it was, I want to get it right though. I want to make sure we get this thing right. Updated football broadcasts. Here we go. And as soon as they happen, as soon as you get them. No, Kansas still TBA. Kansas is still TBA. So there you go. 5:30 in Fayetteville. 8:15 in Provo for Cincinnati. Out there as well. Okay. Scott, you ready to take a break here?
Yeah, it sounds about.
Doesn't that weird? Like the thing is that I get excited talking about all these games, but then like I get bummed out knowing this is kind of a long way till we're still there. Less than 100 days.
I thought it's like 3 months. You got June, July, August. I mean.
Then you're right there. Okay.
Not even 3 months.
Jeremy, what'd you tell me? So you told me something just now. Okay. This portion of the program brought to you by the folks at Mountainland Supply. Locations throughout Utah for all your HVAC, plumbing, waterworks, geotextiles, landscape, agricultural, irrigation needs. Check them out. MountainlandSupply.com. That's MountainlandSupply.com. Okay. We'll come back. When we do, we've got some more things to jump into. So just be aware. We've got stuff still to talk about. Plus, David Locke's going to join us in just a little while. What the SEC is saying about the future of their conference, what it's going to look like with the 12-team college football playoffs. Stay with us, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.